Finished looking at Psalm 103. This has been really exciting for me, and I've titled this one. This is, if you're familiar with some of the expressions that come from different areas of the country, wicked good is an expression from New England. If it's super good, something is really, really good, it's wicked good. And our new national director, Phil Stroud, is from Maine, and so wicked good is an expression he would use. So I'm calling this a wicked good reality check. So it's not really wicked, it's wicked good, which totally changes it. So please don't misunderstand. That's why it's in quotes. Don't want to get drummed out or anything. So I'm just, now we're finishing up these last few verses here in David's Psalm 103. And I'm saying David is haunted, hunted, hassled, hungry, at times hopeful and at times hopeless, at times hurting and at times healed. He has a calling, a destiny, a mission. He's known depression and anxiety as well as elation and satisfaction. God has been present with him through all of it. And now David's energetic confidence in these verses has the impact of a jolt of electricity. And so the beginning part of the psalm is strong and powerful. But I think as he takes us through these last few verses, or we examine what he's written here, again, it's just like reading out of David's diary. These are the things that this ordinary, everyday, passionate kind of guy has experienced. This is what he's lived through. And so through all of that, here is his kind of his summary. And I love it because he begins with this command to his soul, his just way of looking at life and whatever. And he begins by saying, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." It's like, set the alarm and get up when it rings, O my soul. It's that kind of thing. It's time to get up. It's time to get moving. It's time to praise the Lord. So just do it. And then he finishes up that way as well. So let's begin in verse 13. And that's our first point, verses 13, 14. Fatherly tenderness is the blank. Fatherly tenderness. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. So opposite from what we would typically think of when we think of God. We think of almighty, powerful, omniscient, all those big omni words, and creator of the universe, all the majestic stuff, and in his power, which is all true. But what David has experienced in his walk with him, in all his need and in all his depression and anxiety, as well as his mountaintop experiences and the satisfaction of seeing God come through, David is saying, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So there's this whole other side of God who is not out to get us, who is not out to find fault with us, to rate us on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad or good we are. He leaves that job for Santa, I think. But he's his fatherly tenderness. So here is the creator of the universe who welcomes us into a relationship. And in this relationship, we discover tenderness. And I think that's a shock for all of us. And we're always surprised when we encounter this tender, compassionate God. It's like, well, you would just think for sure that he would be in a position to absolutely annihilate us. And he is. But because he's love, first and foremost, he is love. It's not something he adds on to his personality. He is love. And so we encounter him like little children experiencing the embrace of a compassionate father. I know we've got all kinds of father experiences, and we could really talk about people who have horrendous experiences with their father. But, God is a good God, and in the very best sense of a father and the father's love, this is the compassion the father has for his children. So as we're reading down through here, David has already experienced the 17 years of absolute terror from the time he was anointed to be king as a young teenager till the time he was 30 and became king finally over Israel, with all the rebellion in his family, all the rebellion against him, all the wars he had to fight, all the battles that were there to gain back the territory that they'd been promised. In all of that, One of the things he's talking about here is the gentleness of a father that God is to a young child. And so he knows how we are formed, verse 14. See, this is why he is. He knows what we're made of. He knows we're made from dust. He was there when he created Adam out of the dust. He understands we're made in that same image. We are born and we return to dust. And so he's gentle. He knows what we're made of. You know, when you've got little children playing, and especially, you know, if you've got a rambunctious 3 or 4 year old and you bring a little puppy or a little kitten near them, what do you usually say? Be gentle. Why? Because they get excited and they don't understand that this little creature can't take their full body weight, body slamming it. You know, they're just not quite ready for that yet. And so God knows. He looks at us and he thinks we're so cute. He just wants to, you know, play with us roughly. But he says, I can't, because they can't take it. And so he always restrains himself, both, I think, in his expression of love, because he doesn't want to smother us, but also in the judgment and the anger and the reproof, because we can't take that side either. So he always reins himself in and moves in at our level, at our ability to handle it. Otherwise, he would annihilate us. His holiness, his power would just zap us, and we would just be vapor on its way out. And so I think this is really exciting that David says, what I've discovered of God in all of my mess and all of my sin, all of my rebellion, all of my proud times, is that he's compassionate, just like he is with father with a little child. So we have fatherly tenderness that we is a reality check for us, that God is not what we may have thought or heard in our past or has been presented to us, that if you step out of line, he's going to get you. Or you'd better do this or else, you know. I mean, that is not the way God reacts with us. So the first part of this wicked good reality check is that there is fatherly tenderness waiting for us in this relationship, and not just punishment and exile. Number two is a fleeting time frame. In verses 15 and 16, a fleeting time frame. David says, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. I think one of the things David is realizing is that regardless of how powerful someone is, they're not forever. And I think one of the people he's probably referring to here is King Saul. Here was King Saul, elected to be the first king over the people of Israel. And he was tall, he was head and shoulders above all the other Israelites, he was good looking, and he was from a good family, and he was brought in to become the king over the people, and he forgot where he had come from, and he became too proud, and God removed his favor from him because he was leading his people in the wrong direction. And so he removed his blessing from him because Saul didn't want to hear from God. He wanted to do his own thing. And so he may be one of the ones, because what was Saul's end? Because one of the things that was really powerful in their day was, and probably, I mean, in ours as well, but for them to live a long life and to be gathered with their fathers at the end of their lives, to have lived out a long life and to die of natural causes at the end, was a sign of major blessing. Where did Saul die? On the battlefield. And so that was never considered a powerful thing. And certainly for the king, to die in battle was a horrible thing for the country, but it was certainly a very violent, abrupt, premature way to go, not accompanied by God's blessing is in their thought of it. The way they wanted to die is the way we would like to, you know, at the age of 140, and to die peacefully in our bed and just wake up in the arms of Jesus. That would be wonderful. And so they kind of had that same thing as well. So David is seeing not just Saul, but his own people. He's watched other people come and go, and he realizes in his own self, I mean, here I am, I'm this young kid from this little town, this not really an important family, not anything, and all of a sudden God has elevated me up. But I think he's old enough now to realize, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not always going to be on this throne. other things are going to happen. He's already watched betrayal happen within his own family. He knows that, you know, my throne could be upset any day now. You know, other than God had promised him that there would always be someone from his family on the throne. But David is kind of aware that, oh, not all is well, and men get weird sometimes, and we try to do all kinds of things to gain new power. And so his time frame is really, really short. He said, I'm just recognizing that, oh, we're kind of here today, gone tomorrow. I mean, it's just that sense that life is passing by really quickly. And so there's this fleeting time frame that we have as a reality check. We're not always here. You've got people who are trying to build their own kingdom, build their own fame, build their own importance. And it's kind of like, for what? You know, they keep working at this feverishly into old age, and then they're gone. And what happens? I mean, like, what was that all about? You know, they've wasted really the enjoyable years of their lives pursuing something that was unattainable, and then they're gone. And David says, you know, the wind blows over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. They're completely wiped out, and sometimes there's just absolutely no trace. And every once in a while, I'm shocked when you see businesses that seem to be, like, from the time we were born, they've always been around. You think you just kind of assume they'll always be around, and then to see them gone. And, you know, closing down, it's like, no, that's not possible. That's going to be so weird to have that business, that company, no longer around. And some of us are old enough to remember probably some of these big companies that have just disappeared. And now they've been replaced by somebody else, and you almost don't remember the name of those old companies anymore. And so David is talking about that. But then in the third point, this forever togetherness in verses 17 and 18. So David is saying, I realize how temporary all of this is. It's going to go by really fast, and I'm just going to wake up one day and it'll be done. But in verses 17 and 18, he says, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So David is saying, on one hand, on earth, our passage is really quick, really short, and when we're gone, we're gone. There is no trace. But he says, there's another perspective here. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who obey him and fear him. So for those of us who are his children, David says, I've discovered, and the promise, obviously, that God gave to David, that there will always be someone from your lineage on the throne of Israel, always. And of course, Jesus is of that lineage. And he is king forever. But David was promised that, and he sees in that that regardless of how on earth we're just here today, gone tomorrow, in the Lord's heart, we are forever together. God has committed his love to us from before the foundations of the world. He walks with us in all the events of this life here, whatever number of years we're given, and it carries on to our children's children, to the next generations. It always stays with us. David is overwhelmed with this, as we sang this morning. I am overwhelmed. I'm lost for words. How can I describe you? How can I talk about how big your love is? And David has lived a full life, and he's done all kinds of bad things and all kinds of great things. And he's seeing, here's what God is, and I recognize that his love is still with me, and there's no end of this love. And the things he said to me that are just so impossible. I mean, can you imagine? At 13, David has to submit himself to this anointing ceremony with this prophet, Samuel, who is known throughout the whole country, and he's coming here, and he submits to this anointing to be the king of Israel, a 13-year-old. I mean, if he could even picture what that must have been like, he must have been partly terrified and partly just confused. What on earth does that mean anyway? And plus, there's already a king. And then all that David had to go through to come to that place and realize God took me from there, protected me through impossible circumstances to put me on the throne, kept me through my impossible rebellion and sin and all this stuff, and he's kept me all the way through, and now I even have his promise there will always be a representative of my line on the throne. You know, And this is what men build kingdoms, want to build their kingdom for. They always want to be remembered, and so they put their name on things. And they put their name on cities and on buildings and all of this. And we recognize now, of course, that's all subject to change. You know, after the war, certain cities that had been renamed for certain people, well, when the war was over, guess what? Those names disappeared, and they went back to the originals. And buildings disappear. They're not permanent either. And so every once in a while in the newspaper, you'll see, you know, a blast from the past of what Newport News used to look like in 1950 or something. It's like you look at these buildings, you go, have no idea where that would have been because it doesn't look like that anymore. And so, you know, things that are here on this earth are just not permanent. And David is recognizing that, but he said, but more importantly than just this life that is like a plant that just kind of withers away and is gone and doesn't get remembered, we will always be remembered in the Father's love. He always has this relationship. He always is the one who comes and looks for us. He loved us first, John reminds us. We love him because he first loved us. He came and chose us. He came and redeemed us, as Keith was telling us this morning. He redeemed us out of the pit, brought us into relationship with himself. So this relationship is permanent based on the Lord's permanence, not our permanence, to which we must say praise God, because, you know, our permanence doesn't exist. You know, we like for a while, and, you know, it's just like on Facebook, we like, and then all of a sudden we unlike, you know, and it's like, I don't like that anymore, or that person anymore, so thumb goes down, and that person's light gets turned off. But God isn't like that. From everlasting to everlasting, David reminds us. And then he's really winding up here. He's really getting wound up in number four, fanfare and trumpets. I'm calling this one just to keep the F and the T going. But David is really excited as he finishes off the psalm. This psalm is very poetic. It has 22 verses. There were 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and it's a form that was used. It was a type of poetry. And so David is following that form here in the number of verses. But let's look in verses 19 through 22. As David wraps this up, he's talked about God's goodness, his faithfulness, all that we have in him, our forgiveness of sins, the healing of our diseases, the redemption of our life from the pit, our coronation with compassion, being satisfied with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And then he's talked about his ways and how he doesn't treat us the way our sins deserve. And then he pulls this together here, starting in verse 19. The Lord has established, past tense, his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. And then he wraps up with what he started with. Praise the Lord, O my soul. David is recognizing the universal and eternal love that the Father has. And he's saying from all of it, from the angels to the heavenly beings to all of creation, everything that's within his dominion, and there's nothing that's not in God's dominion because he created it all. He says, you all praise him. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. And then he reminds himself, oh yeah, and praise the Lord, oh my soul. David, when you get up in the morning, I want to make sure that you are praising the Lord, that you recognize where your life comes from, where your protection is, where your provision is, where you will find love, where you will find a sense of satisfaction and purpose. And so he says, praise the Lord, oh my soul. He recognizes that. This is, you know, this is a fantastic reality check for us. This is not what we would typically think of when we think of God. And, you know, we look at our lives, and if you're one of the ones who had a 0 to 5 week, you know, it's easy to think God hasn't done much. You know, it's almost like I've been abandoned. I'm stuck in this situation and there's nothing happening. And I don't know where his blessing is, but I don't know where it is financially, health-wise, relationally. We have all kinds of stuff going on. And David reminds us, but see, there's a bigger reality here. And even though we're temporary, God is not. And God has called us from our fleeting, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, into a very eternal relationship with him, held together and assured by his eternal character, not ours. And so David realizes he's been caught up in something, and he's been invited into a type of fellowship that is blowing him away, because he's fully aware of who he is and what he's done. As we are, if we stop and think, who am I that God has put his love in me? Who am I that God's chosen to call me to do anything in his name? And so it's a powerful thing for us to read through Psalm 103 and to recognize that someone who has lived as many things as David has comes now into his mature years and is able to speak these things, to say, this is what I've experienced. This is what he's written down in his diary. And the other challenge for us is he has to remind himself, you've learned all this, David. Now praise the Lord. Live for the praise of God. Choose every day to make sure that your words, your deeds, your actions bring praise to him and not the opposite. Let's make sure that all the heart, all the thoughts and motivations of our hearts are pleasing to him. That's what David prays. And it's, you know, it's something that we need to be reminded of, because again, here's God's love, which is permanent, which is always there, which is always constant, which never changes. And then on the other hand, there's us, you know, we're, you know, we're up and down. And sometimes we take, you know, we take a big long pause where we're not in good shape, or we had some major thing happen to us and it puts us out of the running. And like I was mentioning, our friends, the Discalas in France, I mean, they just had some major stuff happen, and it just, Philippe was just knocked out for about 10 years. I mean, just almost non-existent spiritually. And then God has just said, okay, 10 years, but I'll bring you back. I'll turn the light back on and I will show you how much I love you. And I mean, so we, in the spring, I mean, here we're sitting there at their, in their house having dinner, and they're just telling me this whole story and how he's been revived. Well, first of all, just seeing life again in his eyes was just amazing. I mean, because he was really turned, the lights were definitely turned out. And so, but every time they would he or she would talk about a turning point and how God opened this up and how God changed this and how God renewed and refreshed and restored, and they were in tears and I was in tears, and then we'd laugh and then we'd be in tears and then we'd laugh, because we just say, God is just so good. And you know, this summer Francoise has gone through about with breast cancer and had to have some radiation treatment and whatever, and I asked how she was doing. He calls her his Olympian now. She's lost 30 pounds and they're running anywhere from 10 to 15 miles at a time up in the mountains. So it's like, wow, this is really fantastic. So God renews youth like eagles. It's his plan. He loves us so much. So whatever today is not the full story. If we're down, it's just because we're in a season, but God's love is never gone. It is always permanent for us. He's always waiting on us. He's always wanting to be like a father, compassionate with his children, with us. He will correct us when we need correction, but his love never goes away. His correction is never a sign that you've messed up and now I'm getting rid of you. That does not exist in God's economy. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with us who fear him. And so David says, in all this, praise the Lord on my soul. Praise the Lord. And I think that's our thought and our goal for us today. So we've prayed for one another, and as we've gone through Psalm 103, I'd like to just maintain opportunity for us to pray with one another again. We had a quick opportunity there before just to kind of restore balance to our weeks. But as we're leaving this morning, if we'd like some prayer, if we recognize that it would still be good to pray over something that didn't get mentioned, didn't have a chance to get mentioned, let's be quick to minister to one another. Let's be quick to be the church that moves out and does this for one another, as we prepare ourselves even more to do it for our neighbors and for France. So as we close this morning, let's take some time here. If you'd like someone to be able to continue praying with you for the same thing or something else, let's take a few minutes to do that. So Father, we're grateful that you open your word to us and you help us to understand, and you've made people like David able to write down their experiences, made him the writer who could affirm who you are. It's so important for us to know what he experienced, because we're like him in so many ways, and we need you. And so it's good that we've discovered what David had, that you are Father filled with tenderness, and even though our time frame is short, yours is eternal, and that you celebrate us. And there is great celebration at every level in this universe because of your glory. And Father, in these next few weeks, we recognize that nature will be celebrating you with a flash of color as we go into the fall season. And so we ask, Father, that we would recognize you, we would look for you, and that we would be quick to come and restore relationship. So thank you for being the one who reconciles and calls us to reconcile. We bless you for this morning, Father. Would you speak to our hearts now as we close? Would you encourage our hearts, Father? We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. So please come, please grab somebody for prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.